We have been looking at different worldviews, keeping them in perspective, because there's, you know, if we wanted to say different worldviews, we could probably go into a massive number of different worldviews. But sometimes, in order to understand things, we've got to simplify it as to what is the best way to simplify it. And we started off looking at secular humanism, which is nothing more than an atheistic worldview. But as we just noted, all these worldviews start off atheistic. Now, they develop into other things. The first one was secular humanism. Next one was Marxism. And that's more the mechanics of how you install atheism into a population. And then we took a look at the issue of postmodernism. Now, that's a big, long word. It's kind of hard to understand. It's not really hard to understand, because it's basically saying there was a modern era, and this is the next era past that. So they call it postmodernism. Now, in postmodernism, they have an atheistic viewpoint. If you want to know what's going on in all these riots and all these other things, what you find out, because if you watch it carefully, it makes no real sense what they're doing. Because they have bought a lie. They bought a lie that, for example, the ICE agents are out there violating the law. No, the law is the Constitution and the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution. People came in illegally, and so there's a law, get them out of here. I mean, that's pretty simple. Obama knew it. The deporter-in-chief sent 3 million people back home while he was in charge of the presidency. And it's been understood. The problem is, when one person does it, named Trump, then everybody gets, not everybody, but a few of the people get mad, and they're in friends in high places. I remember Garth Brooks' song, number one country song ever. Did you ever know that? Friends in Low Places. Y'all remember that old beer drinking song? I got friends in low places. We took that. My son took it and changed the words to it one time. We did it at a summer camp up in Pennsylvania one time. And it was, I like taking songs that are absolutely crazy and turning them around. Done more than one of those over the course of time. Friends in Low Places, though, he's got friends in low places instead of I've got friends in low places. And I just got the inspiration last week in the middle of all that ice and stuff to rewrite Imagine. So I'll let you know how that one comes out. Imagine there's a heaven. It's real easy to kind of start the words there. We'll see how that one comes out, because that's such an apostate song, and that how it came to be so highly regarded, it became a doctrinal statement for people. Because that's what you're seeing that is out there on the streets in a lot of cases, most of which are deluded, but the ones that are really behind it have this worldview down, and they are communist at the heart. That's starting to come out. They're financed by a communist, lives in China now, and he's got all kinds of money to foment these rebellions and stuff. Communism brings about chaos. So they don't care if it's right or wrong. Right is, does it generate chaos? Because if it generates chaos, they feel like they can come and offer a solution, and that solution is their collectivism, Marxism, ideas and attitudes. Now, postmodernism is how they go about changing the worldview of other people to install atheism and to install Marxism. Postmodernism is the methodology. We've seen the passage that we're not ignorant of the schemes of the devil. This is schemes of the devil. How does he work? How does he function? We've looked at the fact their theology is atheistic. We've looked at the fact their philosophy is community opinion. So whatever you can get the community to believe, then that becomes the truth. That's got a problem in it, right? Because the community can be led down the primrose path. Our founding fathers didn't want a pure democracy. It's why they set up a republic. because democracies can figure out ways to vote themselves stuff out of the treasury, and they can eventually bankrupt it. Like Margaret Thatcher said, it's good till you run out of other people's money, and then it's a problem. The philosophy of a postmodern is about community. Community sets the definitions of truth. Community sets the standards, etc. Their ethics are changing. Have you ever noticed how some people can be all for something? I know we're all fickle. We all change our minds and grow and develop and all this other stuff. But they have usually... people that are Christians go, well, they are honest enough to say, well, I once thought that way, but now I think this way. Okay? I had it wrong here when I was a teenager. It took me a while to get it right. Okay? We have hopefully the honesty to do that and the ethics to do that. But how can you believe one thing one week and the opposite the next week? And not feel any remorse about it, no apologies, it's just the way that it's the way they view it. Their ethics are constantly changing. The biology is based on evolutionary theory. So it's all about chance. And if you want to do away with chance, read that book, God, the Science, the Evidence, because what they do is some things are beyond the realm of chance. Because the improbability level is so great that there's no way it could have happened by chance. You couldn't have happened by chance. Isn't that comforting to know? You can look in the mirror tomorrow morning and go, I'm not here by accident. You say, well, maybe I was created by accident. No. No, God set this thing in design. He set this in motion. And when you're looking in the mirror, He made you in the image of God. Okay? So you're not here by accident. That's where a lot of kids get so discouraged because they think they're just an accident. And so they go, well, what do I need to live for? And if all there is imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try, and you start looking at that, next thing you know, you got kids that want to kill themselves. That's not what we want. They have something to live for because God made them in His image, and guess what? Eternity set in front of them if they'll take hold of it. The psychology is trying to get now to get people to conform to society standards. That's called good psychology. So if the society is weird, then all the people will be weird, and the psychologists are going to be helping them become weird. So modern psychology tries to get the individual to conform to society's current norms rather than seek the truth, because they hold there's no absolute standard. Sociology is the way they put things together into this collective society. And sociology is, they want the society itself to be the collective thing. They don't want anything to do with churches. They believe that all viewpoints of sexuality are equal with one another. There is no standard of right and wrong. Now, we left off at law. Postmoderns believe the source of knowledge and justice is the problem. They attack the concepts of objective reason and truth. Now, the West legal system is grounded in certain beliefs. This is the system that we have now, including the structural integrity of law, its ongoing nature, its religious roots, and its transcendent qualities. Now, in Rome, Romans chapter 13, we're told to obey the laws of the land. A Christian is to obey the laws of the land because, as he's explaining in there, they are there for good. Because there are some things that it's hard to get away from. Murder is not good. Okay? I don't think anybody disagrees with that. But some people seem to think that it's just fine. And then they start redefining the word murder. Where the Bible is pretty clear about what is murder. You take innocent life over something. Now, they attack the concepts. Remember, postmodern doesn't believe there's any objective truth. It's all relative. Okay, so you might say it's true, but that's your truth. Or you might say it's truth, but that's relative to the circumstances. This is all put together and integrated into the thought process. Now, the critical legal studies movement critiques laws concerning their focus on progressive political change rather than efficient government. So what they do is they take the laws and they say, how can I take it and change it? They dissect the law to discover its subjective meaning. Say, if your underlying philosophy, there's no objective truth. Of course, they think that's the only objective truth. There is no, that then they feel like they can change it. So they take laws they don't like, and they put them into these think tanks, and no matter what the law objectively states or the Constitution objectively states, they're going to try to find a way to twist the definitions around. And the thou shalt nots. You see why they don't like the Bible? That's pretty, some pretty definitive things. Thou shalt have no other gods besides me. Okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal from your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet what your neighbor has. Thou shalt, they don't like thou shalt not unless they make them. Because they don't think there's a God, so they think they need to come together and collectively come up with these things. I mentioned first session or sometime today, the supremacy clause of the Constitution. And you read it, it's not hard to, the Constitution is not hard to understand. And that's why I hear constitutional experts. Constitutional expert in our society is one that knows all the case law that goes with studying the Constitution. Have they ruled on this and have they ruled on that? And usually those things come about because they've got attorneys trying to twist the words and trying to change the Constitution without changing it. Founding fathers intentionally made it difficult to amend the Constitution. They had the intelligence to do that so it wouldn't just be changed on a whim. Confucius said, when words lose their meanings, people lose their freedom. This goes back 500 years before Christ. That's been around a long time. So, when they redefine the words of the Bible, they define sin so it's no longer sin. And in their minds, it's no longer a sin. If there's no sin, how big of a deal is that? There's no need for a Savior. Things are interconnected. And when they realize there's a problem, they must save themselves. Survival of the fittest. See that all this stuff comes into play at the same time. But why are you going to save yourself for eternity? Because you don't believe there's anything beyond this life. Their whole life is a chaos in their thinking. Laws are made to maintain those in power. Laws are made to maintain those in power. Have you ever noticed how many laws exempt some of the legislators? Like health care. Okay, they don't submit everybody to health care except themselves. And they have their own private health care system there at the federal level. Now, what are they doing? Maybe they know that what they set up for the rest of us is not as good as it could be, not as good as it should be. And it's a way to control. When you start seeing our little brother Peavy had his mama at a hospital because she broke a shoulder, broke her arm. And they took her there, and you can see the break in it. He sent us the x-rays. You can see the break in it. And they basically said, well, because it was the private hospital was too much money. He couldn't get it done at the private hospital, and so he took her to the government hospital. The government hospital said it'll heal on its own, and sent her home. Okay, now that's government-run hospitals. And I've told you about when I was in one time in a former Soviet Union state, and we went to hospital to see a lady from the church who was in the hospital. She'd had a compound fracture of her femur, which is hard to even imagine the pain that went along with that. The only thing harder to imagine is the fact that she didn't have the money for an anesthesia. She was in a ward with about 16 beds, if I remember right, with a bunch of other ladies that had a similar thing. And they were in that ward, and they set that femur with no anesthesia because she didn't have the money to pay for it. Now, that is collective health care. But you got to have what you got to have, and so they submit to such things to be able to get any health care whatsoever. So you want to see, what, is it a communist system a good one, Mom Dami? No, it's not. And those are things that have happened in the last 20 years that we know of, and with the one in with Peavy, it was just this last week that occurred. That's what happens with a government-run health care. So can the other one be fixed and worked on and made better? I would think so if they want to make it that way, but my land. Laws are made to maintain those in power, and the focus is frequently on rhetoric rather than logic. They say the things that will benefit them. They say the things that will benefit them, but it does not bind them in any way for them to do that. They are articulate, but not necessarily accurate with what they say. So a postmodern that doesn't believe in God and that he has to answer for this, they just do whatever they want to do. Now, politics is the next level of evaluation. Politics, there is no postmodern political theory, but it's a set of conflicting propositions that emerge from the ambiguities of social change. So they can't say that there's a postmodern political theory because it's all over the board. It is total chaos. And that's why hypocrisy doesn't bother them. Their question is, what benefits me? Well, it might have been true yesterday, but not today. And they have no problem with saying that. Now, leftism or progressivism is an ideological approach to politics emphasizing the state's role in bringing about social justice with a special focus on helping the poor or those oppressed due to race, gender, or sexual orientation. In other words, they want to do good without God. Postmodern theology is atheistic. So they want to do good. So they're saying the right things here, see? But what they do hurts people. Do Christians, should we want to do that? Yeah, they kind of get right in our back pocket here with this, don't they? Yeah, we want to be able to help the oppressed. Jesus came to proclaim release to the captives. My chains are gone. That's what he came to do. But everything about this is enslaving that they've been putting on people. It is an end justifies the means approach. There's no identifiable end other than continued power. Their goal is to stay in power. And they don't care what they do. It's a catch me if you can mentality. Probably saw, a lot of you may have seen that movie a long time ago with DiCaprio in it, where the guy was a Frank Bagnall. Does that sound familiar? He was a shyster, and what he did was play different roles, and he would somehow steal an airplane pilot's uniform and then do a ride-along to get from point A to point B. He had check scheme, check kiting thing. Bob Thompson, her daddy, worked with him. Bob was a postal inspector, and this guy came in after they caught him. Part of his deal, so he didn't spend his life behind bars, was to teach people what to look for. So he went into law enforcement and did these different seminars to show them what to look for and how to find con men. I think a lot more of them needed to go through that program because they somehow managed to miss it. But it's a catch-me-if-you-can mentality. When they say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it, and sue me if you want. It's going to be 20 years before it comes to court, 10 years before it comes to court, or if it comes to court in certain districts, they'll never convict me because they're just like I am. This is the attitude of politics. Catch me if you can. A major tool in this is manipulation of language so that things once considered shameful, immoral, or bad are now viewed as progressive. All the LGBTQRST stuff that's floating around out there. I remember when we were growing up, that it was shameful. I mean, there was just stuff that wasn't done. Shameful, decadent. I mean, how many other terminologies do you put on top of that? But now, and psychology goes with this, that's just progressive viewpoint, okay? And that you need to embrace who you are. Okay? Rather than trying to fix problems, you need to embrace who you are. I find it interesting that to be an imitator of Jesus Christ, you don't find Jesus Christ as... He did not burn them all in hell, okay, when he ran into them. But what he did do was give them the gospel and minister to them. That's how he handled it. Not that everything they did was okay. Some examples from their writings. They believe that those who believe in the sanctity of heterosexual marriage is a mark of backwardness. Okay, so that means we're backward if we believe in that. Another statement, expressing belief in a male Christ is a mark of bigotry. These got to be male, female, both. Campaigning for abstinence education is too restrictive. And not allowing people to be taught a homosexual lifestyle, children to be taught a homosexual lifestyle, is a throwback to religious narrow-mindedness. This all comes out of their writings. And they've infiltrated the school system to a large part. They actually seek the utopian ideals of a decent and civilized society in the place of God's will, His moral laws, the laws of history, and the facts of science. They want utopia. They want the Garden of Eden back. not going to bring it back. It's amazing how things are, how Satan counterfeits. These are his schemes. United Nations is a counterfeit of the Millennial Kingdom. Just as clear as you could possibly imagine. Yeah, they want to bring this all back and put it under one head, and they want one person in charge of it, and it's just made for the Antichrist. Everything is being set up for the Antichrist to come and take charge. Economics. Capitalism is bad because it produces one-sided individuals who lack the ability to perceive the whole. Okay, so if you're a capitalist, you're a narrow-minded fool, basically what they're saying. It's interesting because they believe in interventionism to bring about a welfare state capitalism. They want to run and control everything that is done. I hear about all the money that goes out to different industries, services, etc., and you think, why is the government doing that? Okay? Because free market capitalism says you go out and you have the opportunity to invest in a tool, invest in a product, sell it, make a profit, and that's what you do. That's capitalism. But then you start injecting government money into it. They start playing God, thinking that they know best how best to spend your money. Okay? Are some people foolish with their money? That's a big yes. Does that give the government the right to take it? They think it does, but that's not the way it should actually work. Their everyday economics is socialism and collectivism. It's interesting, they want to keep their money. You may have heard of a congressperson that suddenly went from no money to $30 million in a couple of years. I find that amazing. I need to shut up. Anyway, keep going. Okay. Well, she was taking lessons from another congressperson, is what she was doing. And so, how do you go from nothing making $200,000 a year to $350 million? It takes a while to do it, but they managed to do it. See, they want to keep their money, no matter how they get it, but they want to get your money under their power. So, how they got it, as far as you're concerned, is unimportant. Anyway, history. They use the term historicism to describe the view that all questions must be settled within the cultural and social context in which they are raised. So, if you want to study history, you got to figure out what their culture was, their society was, what their ethics were, all these other things that we have just been through. And then you take that, and then they rewrite the history that has been passed down. They believe that answers to life's questions cannot be found by appealing to some external truth, but rather only to the norms and forms within each culture that ask the question. You can't answer life's questions except by looking back at what was going on in the 1500s in that culture, in that part of the world, and it's the only way you can answer them. Now, it's not saying that the dynamics of that culture don't have some impact on it. But when you find out that ethics gets thrown out the window for what feels good at the time or what the people think at the time, there have been people in Nazi Germany, for example, thought it was great to kill Jews. Now, what gets me is how people throw around the term Nazi toward Jews, that the Jews are Nazis. Nope. It shows that they don't even know history. That's part that drives me crazy. If they had any history, that's why I'm keeping my old world books and Britannicas in written form so they can't change them. Okay? One of these days, I don't know, I don't think the Lord's going to wait that long before he comes back, but just in case, here they are. And you can go through and read actual history. They see no need to learn from history. See, if everything was just a result of what happened in that culture in Nepal in the 1560s, okay, then it doesn't apply here. Okay? Whatever happened in the past doesn't apply here because we're a different culture, different society, etc. So there's no need to learn from history since history may only prove it didn't work that time. Why do they keep trying communism over and over and over again when it's never worked in the history of the world? And they look back and say, well, it didn't work at that time. Well, what about Russia? It's not working in that culture. Levin wrote American Marxism that talks about they're trying to bring it in to the United States because they think we're smart enough to make it work. Didn't learn from history. They doubt that accurate telling of history is possible because they blur the difference between fact and fiction, and some even claim that all historical accounts are fiction. Okay? So that's how they justify going back in and rewriting the history books. I'm sure Brian has run into that with the social studies and everything else. I mean, it's just a common thing that is done. And, you know, we were forced to learn history. We didn't want to learn history, but now we're thankful that we were. You had to pass it. You actually had to pass the class and not just get passed on or passed over. You actually had to do the work and pass the class and learn about those things. So we learned about some things. Did they have some twists maybe we didn't know about? Probably, possibly. But the fact itself is certain things happen. Okay? And their idea is to rewrite history, rewrite the past to serve an ideological purpose. What they're trying to do is take where they want to go and where it is now and write it back into the past and to empower oppressed social groups. Now, the twisting the history does nobody any good. I find it interesting that the Bible, one of the great things about the Bible, a lot of great things about the Bible, is it's historically accurate. And people say, well, no, it's not. Well, if you want to go to the internet and get all the reasons it's not accurate, go ahead. But if you want to go to what God says, then you're going to go to the Bible. And it's historically accurate. Every time they come up with some new thing and say, well, the Bible was wrong here, God just plays rope-a-dope with them. Okay? Go ahead, throw your punches, swing at me, do all that stuff, and I can't help but think about there was a, if you remember reading about the Hittites in the Bible? Hittites? Well, there was a big battle in the 1800s, 1900s, big battle at the, there's no evidence in ancient history that the Hittites ever existed. Therefore, the Bible is wrong. They wrote the Cambridge Ancient History with that viewpoint. Cambridge Ancient History is the standard ancient history for the world. The Cambridge Ancient History. And so they had that in there that there were no Hittites. And God just played rope-a-dope with them for a while till they committed themselves and should have been committed. But they guess what they unearthed? The records of the Hittite Empire. It almost controlled the world at one time. They had to rewrite part of the Cambridge Ancient History because they thought they had it right, but why didn't they just stick with the Bible? Then they'd had it right all along. At least say that we have no record of the Hittites, but yeah, they do have one historical record called the Bible. They could have at least given credit to that, but they chose not to. And so God says, let he who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Well, they fell and had to reprint a whole lot of books. Well, are there absolutes? Yeah. Because to say there are no absolutes is absolute and it doesn't fly. Are there no certainties? Well, when Jesus says something, you can be certain that it's going to happen. And if you say there's no absolutes and there's no certainties, then you just made yourself God. And that is not a good position to be in. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day, for your mercy and love and grace and your blessings and your tests. Father, thank you for your word that lets us be able to sort through this time frame in which we live. We know there's a mass of confusion, but in this mass of confusion, Father, you are straight with us. You have made things simple enough to understand. And Father, while the devil throws complexity at us, you throw simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. May we constantly remember that and seek that. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.